Welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Hal Sutton, winner of 14 PGA Tour events, including the 1983 PGA Championship and the 1983 and 2000 Players Championships. And Hal is also a former four-time Ryder Cup player and captain of the Ryder Cup. Hal, welcome to Talking Golf. So nice to talk with you.
Thanks, Ann, and looking forward to visiting with you.
Hey, we are coming off some very exciting final rounds in pro golf. Rory McIlroy finally won a Masters title, capturing a career Grand Slam. And then Justin Thomas wins the RPC Heritage, his first title in almost 3 years. What do you make of this exciting golf the last 2 weeks?
Well, I think Rory winning the Masters is one of the most electrifying Masters we've seen in quite a while. And I think a lot of the world was pulling for him to complete the Grand Slam. I certainly was. And then Justin to win after 3 years. I know what it's like when you haven't won in several years and people expecting you to win. The weight keeps mounting on your shoulders. And I'm sure he was glad to put an end to that dry spell.
Yeah, I know you had a 9-year winless spell. I was reading it went from 1986 to 1995. How did you stay positive?
It's difficult, you know. Seems like there's a lot of negative thoughts all around you, you know, with people doubting. They, you know, that's what they tend to talk about because that's news, you know, and it's people want to hear those things, and you hear it too, even though they're not talking directly to you. You know, you're listening to what everybody else is saying. Then you begin to doubt yourself, and but anyway, you know, just keep persevering.
And that's exactly what Rory McIlroy did, finally winning that Masters title. Oh, gosh, after 11 years trying to capture a career Grand Slam, what were you thinking when you saw that roller coaster, just crazy round?
Well, I think that's what made it exciting, really, to be honest with you. He hit some crazy shots at a, you know, nobody expected him to hit, you know, like when he basically almost, I would call it a little bit more than a chip in the water on 13, which, you know, was a, would have never expected him to do that. And then the pitching wedge on 18. I'd never seen that many 3-shot swings in this last 9 holes. So, it was exciting for everybody watching.
Yeah, I mean, it was just this wild combination of brilliant shots with some pretty ugly, I guess it was because of nerves. I mean, what does it say about, you know, conquering your nerves and just having that kind of resilience?
Well, you never hear anybody say that they were nervous because they don't want to admit to that. But the truth is, everybody's nervous on things like that. And, you know, somehow you get through it without showing the nerves, but or most of the time you do. But all the great players were nervous in those times. You know, you'd have to have ice water running in your veins not to be nervous in something like that.
You mean, gosh, talking about nerves, Padraig Harrington in my book, Life on the Green, he told me, and I thought this was an incredible revelation. He told me he not only gets nervous when he tees it up, but he has fear as well. And it was, you know, his advice is to embrace that fear because it's normal. Did you have fear like that, or is that just unique to Padraig?
Well, I don't know if I had fear, but I think the fear is of failure.
Right.
You want to succeed, you know, but you do have to embrace that. You have to realize that that is a possible outcome, but so is success a possible outcome. And, you know, you keep your mindset on the success part and you try to put the fear of failure in the back of your mind. So.
It's all normal, very normal. So embrace those nerves, embrace that fear, that's for sure. Well, Justin Thomas wins his 16th PGA Tour title, and I was happy for him at the RBC Heritage. What do you think these recent wins for these guys mean heading into the PGA Championship? Now, I know Rory has won two PGA Championships. JT has also won two. So what are your, I mean, obviously the confidence is through the roof, you would think.
I'm sure it is, and I'm sure that it makes for a great showdown. And, you know, Scottie Scheffler has been up at the top but hadn't played his best golf, and I'm sure he's wanting to right that ship as well. So the PGA Championship in North Carolina, it ought to be a great event.
Have you played Quail Hollow?
I have not played Quail Hollow, so I'm not a good judge of it, other than I've heard many, many good things about it.
Well, I know there's the Green Mile, the closing three-hole stretch, which is very challenging. And I know Rory's won there four times, so it will be interesting to see how this Masters title frees him up, right? Rory McIlroy, just what's next for him? I mean, he's going to come in with a lot of confidence and momentum. And what, how do you think he's going to do going forward?
Well, that's hard to say. You know, he's lifted a big monkey off of his back, and he could either play real free or he might be exhausted as well.
Right.
So you never really know. I wish him well. He's a great guy. Just recently I was at TPC, and he was sitting a few tables over from me when he got up. He came over to the table and spoke to me for a little bit. You know, he didn't have to do that, and that's just the kind of guy Rory is. So, you know, he's a friend, and I was happy for him.
What are your memories of winning the PGA Championship at, gosh, it was at Riviera in 1983?
Yeah. Well, my memories were that I got to beat my boyhood idol, Jack Nicklaus. So that's the biggest memory from that event. You know, he was in the clubhouse. I was one shot ahead, and I just had to get it to the clubhouse. So, you know, having Jack Nicklaus standing on the 18th green watching me come in, you know, that was, and I was able to end up parring 18 and beat him by one. So that was one of those memories that I hold close to the heart.
Not bad. Beating the best, Jack Nicklaus. Wow, what a great memory, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was a, you know, a dream come true. You know, of course, it set the stage for a lot of people to have a lot of expectations that you know, I didn't realize what was going to be next. And, you know, all of a sudden I went from chasing my own dreams to having to live up to everybody else's expectations. And that can be frustrating, you know. It's not an easy task.
When you won in 83, Hal, your winner's check was $100,000, if I read this correctly. And
yep.
Last year, the PGA champion earned $3.3 million. The total purse, by the way, was $18.5 million. What are your thoughts about the huge money the PGA Tour players are earning today?
Well, you know, I went on to win the money list that year with like $450,000 or something, and now the leading money winners earn whatever they earn, 25, 30, 40 million. I don't know what it's going to be this year with Rory. But anyway, you know, I'm sure that the people that came before me looked at it that way. I'll tell you a quick story, Ann.
Sure.
I worked with Byron Nelson when I was first two or three years that I was on the tour. And I would always go over to Preston Trails, and he called me after I had been Rookie of the Year, and I made like $237,000. And he would watch me hit balls for about 30 or 40 minutes. Then we'd go in and have lunch. And so he called me after I had been Rookie of the Year, and he said, let's come over. And I did, and we had gone in to eat lunch, and I excused myself to the bathroom. I came back out, and big old alligator tears were running down his cheek. And I said, Mr. Nelson, what's wrong? And he said, nothing, Hal. He said, you know, he said, you just won $237,000. And he said, I feel like I had something to do with your golf game. And he said, you won more in this year than I won in my entire lifetime. I feel like I had something to do with the tour. I had something to do with the purses that are where they are now, and I had something to do with yours. He said, these are tears of joy.
Wow. That is intense. Whew. What a, yeah. I mean, he
so
was
that
just an incredible guy.
That puts it into perspective about money, you know?
Right. Right. It, absolutely. I mean, you did it for the love of the game, right? For the joy. And so did Byron. And do you think there's too much money now in the game? Is it kind of ruining the sport?
Well, since you asked the question, I used to think legacy meant something. I think money means more than anything else now. And I think, I think back in our day, I mean, I'll give you, for instance, I was 25 years old when I led the money list, and my life wasn't set for the rest of my life. I had to get ready to go the next year because I didn't have enough money to make it for the rest of my life. Some of these guys now make so much money that they could quit tomorrow and they'd never miss a beat. And that changes the desire level for some. Not all, but for some.
I asked Phil Mickelson this question and Rory McIlroy at the U.S. Open at Brookline a couple years ago. And Rory, I asked him, you know, what does legacy mean to you? And Rory had the best answer. He says, you cannot buy your reputation. You cannot buy your legacy.
Love that. That, yeah. I would have expected him to answer it that way.
Yeah. And it was a long-winded answer, but, you know, it was, and I asked Phil the same question the day before, and he looked at me like he was going to choke me.
Well, he didn't want to have to answer that.
I know. Well, I also followed it up with, and do you think your legacy has changed since you've joined Liv? And of course, that got on full swing on Netflix, and you could see him glaring at me. You know, he said one line, and then he actually had a decent answer that went on and on, but it, you know, they cut it off. But anyway, speaking of Liv, obviously the money in the PGA Tour, I believe, is a direct result from Liv Golf. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it had to be. You know, they had to do something. I never have figured this whole thing out. I mean, what is the end result for Liv? I mean, these guys certainly made a lot of money. I could see why some of them did it. You know, Lee Westwood, the guy, I could actually see why Phil Mickelson did it. He was at the end of his career. And, you know, that was a lot of money. But people like John Rahm, I couldn't figure out why he did it. You know, he obviously, legacy didn't mean anything to John. I mean, the money meant something to him. And, you know, what is the end game for the Liv? I mean, as far as Saudi is concerned with, I mean, I've tried to watch Liv on TV. I understand the game at a deep level. I cannot understand why they're doing what they're doing. A 54-hole golf tournament, let me just tell you, sleeping on the lead for one more round is a whole lot tougher than just doing it for three rounds or two rounds. And how can a winner not finish on the same holes as the other guy? I mean, you know, you might be in theirs, you might be finishing on the easiest par five on the whole golf course, and the other guy might be finishing on the hardest par four on the golf course. That's not a correct finish. And I don't know, I could go on and on, but I won't.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. I agree with everything you said. Well, having said that, would you like to see the top players on both tours playing together more often?
Well, I would like to see the best players playing against each other more often. I would. And I think all the golf fans around the world would like to see that. I don't know how. I think that's going to be a slow process to get it back. And I also think that some of the guys that have departed might not ever be in that environment again.
And how did the guys who did not depart feel? How would they feel if, you know, they let the other guys back in? So there's too many factors here. And, you know, that's why, the negotiations to me sound like they're not going anywhere for sure. But that is a topic for another time. Let me ask you about Makefield putter. This is the first time you're endorsing a putter, Hal Sutton?
It is the first time. You know, they had talked to me for a year or two, and I just wasn't ready, I don't guess. And then I finally decided, well, look, let me come up there and go through y'all's factory and see why y'all do what you do and why you say what you say. And it was a great experience. Their technology is pretty sound. They're trying to get the ball with less skid effect, get it on the ground sooner, and all the weight is through the equator of the ball, and then you're able to move the weights around as you feel like it suits your stroke. And I didn't understand all that as they explained it to me, but once I went through the factory and went through the fitting, I was really amazed, to be honest with you. So I was always either I had Ping Answer or Scotty Cameron, Newport News most of my life. That's what I won most of my golf tournaments with. And all the new putters, the new age, the data that we're able to compile now was after me. So I guess I would say I was skeptical to begin with. Mm-hmm. But after going through it, I just said, this is a must. I'm happy to do this. I'm happy to support this because I think what y'all have done is fantastic, and I think it'll help a lot of golfers.